introduction in general.
Okay.
But we will are give talking about here. Introduction to the introduction.
That serves its purpose very well. It gives you a little bit of a better taste for davening. And Rabbanon,
I like to approach it from a little different point of view, more of a structure point of view.
We are going to learn a few new things tonight about Kilayim. Certainly for me they were new. We're going to start from Halacha Zayin. Ein Mevi'in, that's on Gimel Amar Aleph, right? Ein Mevi'in Ilan B'Ilan. Yerek B'Yerek. One is not allowed to graft a tree onto a tree, nor a vegetable, such as a shrub, onto a vegetable. Lo Ilan B'Yerek, nor a tree onto a vegetable, meaning a tree onto a shrub. V'lo yerek bila, nor a vegetable onto a tree. Rabbi Yehuda Matir yerek bila. Rabbi Yehuda says one is allowed to graft a vegetable onto a tree because simply because it doesn't take, not because it's some unique exception, but because it doesn't take. Mechal pashit to the Rabbi Yehuda. However, there seems to be a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda Shita here and Rabbi Yehuda Shita, which we actually learned previously in the Masechta. Tamar Omer previously had said, "Noitel adam ma achas mipitma." If a person takes a seed from the stem of a shavatiach of a melon, which is a vegetable, "uma achas mipitma shavatapuach," and a seed from the stem of an apple, which is a fruit. He puts them into one hole. In other words, he seeds them together. They combine. They become kilayim. So you see that fruit and vegetable do combine together. So we see it would seem that the grafts should also work between fruits and vegetables. Here he says it doesn't work. Right here he says that you're allowed to graft a vegetable into fruit because it doesn't take. And here it says that seeds which are planted together, vegetable and fruit, were wrapped together. It says Maratamon there, Aideshu Nosin Zebitzad Zeh, because he plants one seed next to the other. Hey Misachin, then when they grow out, they're going to merge together, Venasin Kilaim, they're going to become Kilaim. Brahma, however, Yerek B'ilon, who here you want to make graft on a stem from a vegetable, Chveis, from a tomato, onto a fruit tree, onto an apple tree, it's not going to take. Okay? Says the Gemara, Tani, we learn, Minayin Che Markivin Eitzchak Agabe Eitzmachal. Now, I did not know this, but this is Alochi, and Alochi, to even the graft a non-fruit-bearing tree, Al Eitzmachal, and a fruit-bearing tree, Lo Eitzmachal, Agabe Eitzmachal, nor a fruit-bearing tree of one sort on a fruit-bearing tree on another sort. So it's an interesting thing. Even non-fruit-bearing trees cannot be grafted on fruit-bearing trees. Fascinating thing. You would think that they're neutral. They're not. They're not neutral. They're not value-neutral. They're negatives. You can't do it. So says the Gemara, how do we know this is true? Min b'sheino mino, minayin. How do we know that any min, with something which is not its min, any dissimilar types, I know they're forbidden. My chukim, you should watch. What does that mean? As chukosai tishmoru, says the says of it by kilayim. But what's that referring to? Chukim. Why is kilayim called a chok? Rabbi Yonan b'shura and Rabbi Lezer Shem Ravka b'shem Kahana say. They both said that Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Lezer said name of Kahana to Rabbi Lezer. This is going like Rabbi Lezer. Mishum chukim shechakakti bolami, because of the rules which I set down in my world at the beginning of time. In other words, when I created the world, I set specific rules, specific patterns. Meaning, This is type A and this is type B, and never the twain shall meet. So here the rule, word chok doesn't mean the same thing it normally means. Normally chok means a rule. Here what does chok mean? No, not even that, but rather a specific type. The word chok means something which is carved, etched. So the types were etched, so to speak. They were etched in stone.
Categorized,
right. So that's what's happening here. So the categories cannot be mixed and matched. Says Gemara, Me'ato osu lo demarishon. So if that's the case, was it also lo demarishon? Was all demarishon also bekilayim? Yes. Rabbi Yossi, B'shem, Rabbi Hillel said no. Divrei HaKoli. There's a little bit of words missing here, but according to the first opinion, kilayim is also to goyim. We're going to see that imminently as well, more explicitly. Rabbi Yosef Sharmila says no. Tivri HaKoli. It could be Bnei Noach or not Nitzavu on kilayim. But rather what we're saying is Mishum Chukim Shechokakti Be'olami. Not that the laws existed from the time of Adam Rishon, but rather the types existed from Adam Rishon. Okay? Me'ato also says more, if that's the case of all types, we're not allowed to mix and match or combine together. Also, it should be forbidden to graft a white, black date on a white date with a black fig. A black fig tree and a white fig tree. Rabbi to says more, no. That's not, so far we don't go. Rabbi Yovin goes, why not? Because Rabbi Yovin said, can't you learn out from kilayim by garments? Just like kilayim begadim which I forbade you. Shnei meaning. Are two different types, meaning wool and linen, right? Lo zemi means ev, lo zemi means zeh. They're not at all similar, right? Right? White wool with black wool is mutter, right? White linen with black linen is mutter, right? What's the only answer? Wool and linen together, right? Av kilayim shel osai d'chol b'chol mokim, so to kilayim which is also by planting or any other anywhere else. Lo zemi means ev, lo zemi means zeh. In order to be forbidden, it must be two different types altogether. Tani b'shem Reb Lezer. We learned the name Reb Lezer. This is going back to the sheet that we had in Omer Aleph, that Kilayim Rosas Ben Noach, Mutaru Goy Lizroa Velubosh Kilayim. A Goy is allowed to plant and to wear Kilayim. What's he not allowed to? Avalol Arbia Behemto Kilayim is not allowed to husband his animal in a Kilayim, meaning take dogs and cross them with cats, right? Flolarki Velon Kilayim, nor graft to Mutar for Goyim. Goyim are not allowed to have graft trees.
So, what about making a mule? You can't.
No, you can't do it. A guy can't make a mule, right? So, for a prohibited. Villa, according to this, Lama, why? Because it says by all these things already, by my separation, says, Liminehen. Liminehen means they have to stick to their own meaning and not transfer meaning. It's not the right word, but, not. You get the point. Fare de Shoin. What about grasses? Xiban the Liliminean, it says Liliminean, right? So it should have, they should also have to stick to the Roman. And Xiban Sivalbo, so it doesn't say that we are commanded to keep them separate, but rather when they grew Liliminean. So it's when Hashem said, animals should come out Liliminean. He commanded the animals and by extension humanity to keep those boundaries. When he commanded on grafting, on trees, he said Liminean, which means that they should come out distinct and also they should never be grafted. But it doesn't say when he commanded grass to come out that he commanded it to come out Liminean. It says the grass came out Liminean on its own. So Rashi brings down Chumash that the grass made a kav chomer to itself and said if the trees came out separate, we should also come out separate, whatever the case may be, but they weren't commanded to remain separate. So therefore, there's no answer of kilayim by grasses. Yeah. By the tivu, you take a look at Chumash, you'll see by the commands it says Liminean by those, but not by the grasses. Okay, if that's the case, the Gra takes out the next two words, Vim Kain. The Gemara asks, Lo miniskalort, it says in another Mishnah Sin, the land was cursed as well. Why was the land cursed? Rabbi Yehuda bar Shaul bar Shalom Omar Ayudesha Avra Gzeirosav Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. The land transgressed the command of Hashem. This is brought down Rashi and Chumash as well. And so Hashem wanted Tachi Ords Desha Ezra Mazriya Zera. And then the pasuk goes on. Yerushalmi many times only brings the beginning of the pasuk, even though it means to bring a proof from the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk says that it says Eitz Pri Osa Pri. Says the fruit, the bark itself should have the taste of the fruit, right? That's the end of the pasuk. Ve'ilah asos, and the land didn't do it. Elavatoyt yards desh eitz and mazriya zerlamineu, and eitz osepri. The pasuk goes on to say it only created fruit bearing trees, but not that the bark itself had the taste of the fruit. Rabbi Pinchas saw ma'ar. Rabbi Pinchas said no. He argues. He says som chavetivuyel. The land rejoiced in its command and fulfilled it. Not only that, Fosifi Lone Srak. The land was not told to produce a non-fruit-bearing trees. That was like a gift that the land gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So other midrashim say that Ilan Srak is a kloa as a result of the chait of Adam Arishon. We have non-fruit-bearing trees. That in Gan Eden all trees bore fruit, and that lossy level all, even the non-fruit-bearing trees will bear fruit. But this is according to other opinion, which holds that this is a special gift that the land gave to God, not only to produce what it was told to produce, but also tacked on the non-fruit-bearing trees. Okay.
How was that a gift? If it doesn't give any fruit,
it's pleasant to look at. It's aesthetic. It's useful also. Okay, that's what he holds. Aldaitid Rabbi Yehuda bar Shaul Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda bar Shaul says that the land messed up. Yofen iskalochet. Makes sense that the land was cursed. Aldaitid Rabbi Pinchas bar Kohen. Rabbi Pinchas lomri iskalochet. Why was the land cursed? What did the land do wrong? Can we hear from them? Kinesh to Omar. So it's like a person who says, Lit biza the chain yinak. Cursed is that woman, that biza is a woman who's mivuzes, woman who's disgusting or to be repudiated. Cursed is that woman, the chain yinak, who nursed such a child. In other words, we're cursing the land because man came from the land. So just like you cursed the mother of a child who went astray, so too you cursed the land which begat Adam, who went astray. Okay? Va'asya kaid Rabbi Nos, this is going like Rabbi Noson, who says, Shloisha nichnasu ladin, three went in to be judged, man, woman, and the serpent. Va'arba yotzu mekulolim. And four things were cursed, man, woman, the serpent, and the land. Right? The land is cursed because of man. Akidun, until now, says that your animals you should not be marbiya kilaim. Of minayim, what about birds? Is tani atani. So some tanoim want to learn out from es chukos aitishmoru, meaning birds are created with their own distinct types. They have to keep their own distinct types. These tani and some tanoim learned out from behemtachol sarbiya kilaim, and although the Gemara doesn't say it's explicitly, meaning we make a gzera shavat to Shabbos. By Shabbos, your mitzvah on shvis hasof, now let's let your birds do work for you. So too on excuse me. Birds are included in animals, so too here, birds are included in the circulime, just like animals are included in the circulime. Says the Gemara, actually not asking. Now, here's a typo. It should be here, bia behema. What if you crossbred animals? Via bia often at the same time you crossbred birds. Here says that birds are learned out of chukosai tishmoru. A separate pasuk than animals, chayiv shtayim. There's a chayiv tulavin here. One for the behemoths, which behemtachol sarbiya chukayim, the other one for lo sarbiya chukayim, and the other one for chukosai tishmaru. Be careful not to transgress my categories. Man domar mi behemtachol sarbiya, he who says that even birds will enter from behemtachol sarbiya with a gzereshon from Shabbos, so he says that there's only one lav here. For both birds and animals, the lav is behemtachol sarbiya chukayim. Okay? Says the Gemara further, and vice versa, again, and here's as a typo, Hirkiv Elon, if you grafted a tree, via oath, and at the same, well, no, not simultaneously, but in one Asura, you also crossbred birds, so if you learn Kukos Saitishmaru, Enochai Velachas, you only transgress one, right? Because birds and grafting are both learned from Kukosa Tishmoru. Mada my bemtchol sabia learns our birds from dentchol sabia kilaim chayv shtaim holds your chayv two here. One of the two for the behem, the oaf is learned from bemtchol sabia kilaim, and the behem is learned out from behem from. And the grafting of the trees is learned out from Chukos Saitishmoro. Tani, we learned, Ein Markivim Zaysim Berechev Shol Tmoro. One cannot graft, one is not allowed to graft olives on the stump of a Tmoro, of a date tree. Mim Nature Elon Bilon, because it's Elon and an Elon. Rabbi Yudan Boy, Rabbi Yudan asks, Velez Odor Pliga, Rabbi Levi, doesn't the following statement argue on? So doesn't this statement argue in Rabbi Levi's statement? What did Rabbi Levi say? So Pasuk Tehillim, right? Your wife is like a fertile grapevine in the innards of your house. And then the Pasuk goes on to say that your sons are planted olives around your table. Rabbi Levi dashed in this pasuk, mazesim em bo emarkova, just like olive trees have no grafting, they can't be grafted on or be grafted onto. So to your children will not have any souls, they won't have any refuse. Ask the Gemara, if you're going to tell me halacha that you're not allowed to graft an olive onto a date, so it sounds like you can graft olives. Homiklashiyesh lem solus, that olives can be grafted. Says Marshani, here it's different. Shu'asi lemaska, you're not trying to graft. You want the grapevine to grow out of a base, which is from a date tree. Why? Because the moisture of the dates will mingle with the grapevine, not with the grapevine, the olives, and make the olives sweeter. Shani Ocha Dizhu Osi Lamasko, it's going to make it sweeter. And they had such a concept in the old days. Kehada, it's similar to that, Rabbi Shimon Berebi, have a mashkete praskete, Yaimush used to pour his nuts around the base instead of pouring them water. What would he use to pour them? Wine. Cooked wine. In order to sweeten them. So there's a different thing other than grafting. There's a concept of being of sweetening the fruit by connecting it or hooking it up to some sweeter fruit, either by actually pouring wine on the roots or by somehow or another growing the grapevine out of an area which growing the olive tree out of an area in which there was previously a date palm. So again, this is not a true grafting, this is a sweetening process, and we're answering this as well. Okay, we're saying that even though it's not a bona fide graft, it's still prohibited. Now again, I don't know exactly how they did it, but somehow or another this is something distinct from a graft. Okay, halacha ches. Ain no tim yerek betol sadon shel shikma. One is not allowed to plant a vegetable in the base of a sycamore tree. Now, a sycamore tree used to be a tree which they used to grow mostly for wood. And they used to harvest it all the time and leave a stump. So I guess on this stump you can grow vegetables. You're not allowed to graft vegetables onto that. Okay? Mimneshu yerek bilon, because that's a vegetable in a tree. Ain no tim yichu... I skipped. Sorry. Emakim pigam agabe kida. You also can put a pigam onto a kida levana to white kida mivneshu luyark bielilon, because that's a vegetable onto a tree. And I don't know what these are. Let me just take a look. Wow. Cool. They have kilayim and art scroll. Let's see what he says here. Yeah, it's a hard mesechta. One may not grab, oh, of course, one may not grab the rue to cassia. Rue, R-U-E, to cassia, C-A-S-S-I-A. Yeah. So, he mentions a whole bunch of possibilities here. So, as this is greens with a tree. Okay. Oh, so does he have pictures in here too?
So look at Gemara.
Gemara said there are pictures. Oh yeah, show the pictures. Yeah, sure.
Elon.
Very nice. Okay, keep it handy. Who wrote this? Doesn't say. Okay. So, Eino Timicha Shoteino. You can't plant a branch of a fig l'toch chatzuv into a chatzuv, which is some other kind of base, I guess, of a vegetable, in order to make it cool down. No, it doesn't say in the front page. You have to look in the introduction, but I want to see what it says about chatzuv. Because somehow or another, again, I don't know how these things work, but somehow or another, the chatzuv cools down, whatever that means, the fig tree. So he says here that he doesn't bother translating chatzuv. Whatever chatzuv is, it is. Okay? Ain't toch min zvor shel gefen l'toch avatiach. Similarly, you cannot stick a shoot of a grapevine into a melon. Here, there's also this kind of sweetening thing. The juice of the melon will go up into the grapevine and would make it juicier. Because this is a graft of a tree onto a vegetable. You can't put here we're talking about a gourd seed into a chelmis. Chelmis is another type of vegetable, because that's a kilaim of one type of vegetable with another type of vegetable. Rabbi Schaia Chasoni, the Rabbi Levi boy. Rabbi Schaia, the son-in-law of Rabbi Levi, asked the question. I don't understand. You're saying they now have to put stick the grapevine into the melon because of key lime. It's a more basic issue of key lime. The more basic issue of key lime is that even if it's not grafting, it's still this or kilia karam. Kilia karam means not allowed to plant a grapevine together with anything else. Whether it's grafting or not, all these things are grafting issues. But even if it's not grafting, it's still kilia karam. Says my arm rabbi Yisrael said the potter resolve it like this. There's a very, very fundamental thing. Can I have the piece of paper? I did not know this. Are you using this? I did not know this before today, and I assume neither did you. Kilaim, let's say here is a tree, a grapevine. Why am I using a fountain pen for this? You have a grapevine over here. And here, right next to it, here over here, you have, this is grape. And here over here, let's have an orange tree. The only issur is if it's within six tefachim. This is six tefachim. And within three tefachim of the surface of the ground beneath the soil. That's the only area which kilayim applies. But let's say the roots meet underneath there. That's fine. That's true of any type of kilayim. Six tefachim overground, and three tefachim is the diff gap. And within the first three tefachim underground, that still that gap must be maintained. But in the fourth tefach, excuse me, in the fourth tefach on the ground, we don't care anymore. At that point, the roots can mix, mingle. It doesn't matter. Any type of kilayim. So kilayim is really what kilayim boils down to is the Maariv Sinai issue. The whole concept of kilayim is mostly that which is apparent. If it's beneath the ground, away, which is not visible, it's not a problem. Unless, of course, it's what? What is our mission talking about? Grafts. Even subterranean grafts are awesome. But the mingling of roots is not a problem. Is that clear? If they're less than 6 feet apart, they look like they're growing together. Yeah, but it has to be within three tall and below the top of the ground. I guess that's considered, to be, how should we say, Milsa Davida Ligluia, let's call it that. Okay, that's too potentially apparent. Okay? It's always, no matter how high they grow, they always have to be at least 6 tefachim apart. But the 6 tefachim gap only has to maintain up to 3 tefachim beneath the ground. Okay? So this is a very big chiddush. So you're talking about where the roots mingle below three tefachim into the ground. So then there would be no issue of kilayim if not for the problem of what? Of grafting. The mingling of roots is not a problem. Excuse me? Yeah, it can be more than 6 tefachim apart. But ask me gap has to be maintained. No, it has to be both. That gap has to be maintained of 6 tefachim apart above ground, has to be maintained up to a distance of 3 tefachim beneath the ground. Above ground, it doesn't help. Doesn't help. It's supposed to be at least 6 tefachim apart below ground. Okay? Just separation between the trees. Okay? I could mislead you. This is, I confuse you. This 6 tefachim is being maintained throughout, as high as the trees grow, and also 3 tefachim beneath the ground. Okay? Right. Says Marakado de Tani. So like that which we learned, Shor Shei Peah Nichtosi Soch Arba Ama Shebekerem. It's talking about by single tree. The shear of distance between single trees is 6 tefachim. The shear of distance between a vineyard and, say, grain is how much? Not 6 tefachim, but rather, since the vineyard is more choshev, it's Arba Ama. But again, that Arba Ama only is maintained above ground and within 3 tefachim beneath the ground. Beneath that, the roots can mingle, and we don't care. Okay? Okay? So far, so good. Hatomi and Lefis, but Snonos, Tachas Agefen. It's an interesting thing. You didn't plant, but rather you preserved your radishes and your turnips under your grapevine. But you had the grapevine, over here making a shade. And here, underneath here, you put your radishes and turnips. Yeah. Beneath ground. No, that's the point. Says the Mishnah. As long as some of the leaves are revealed, there's no kilayim involved, no shmitah prohibition, no nuchiva meiser, and you can pull them out of the ground on Shabbos. Because if they have leaves and you put them in the ground with the leaves showing, so that means you didn't intend to replant them. Did not intend to replant them. Okay? Is this confusing? If you wouldn't replanted them, so now they are, all bets are off. When they grow again, when they put out roots, then they can make lime, they can be chayv and shvias and maizos, you name it, it'll be chayv in it. Right? But if your intent is not for that to happen, your intent is rather to just store them in the ground, and that is proven by leaving the leaves on and accessible to yourself above ground, then all these halachas which apply to replanting don't take effect. Now, I want to add, this is also chesh. Again, even if they put out little roots, it doesn't matter, because what was your intent? Just for storage. Okay? So they can retain storage. What? We're going to learn that. It's not mechubar lekarka, right? Yes. They're not planted. Stored. No, it's going to provide succulents to the grapes. No, it's going to provide succulents to the grapes. Yeah. We don't care. Because the leaves hurt you. That's right. You got it. Okay? Right. But you are just a city slicker, right? What do you know? You grew up in the Bronx. Did you ever see a plant in your life? Amazing. So says the Mishnah. Hazareh chita v'sorah kachas. If you throw into a hole in the ground, wheat and barley, areza kilayim. Rabbi Yehuda omer, eno kilayim ad shushnei chiti mesorah. You have to have either two wheat kernels and a barley kernel, o chita shnei sorim, or one wheat kernel and two barley kernels, o chita v'kusar v'kusamis, or wheat, barley, and spelt. Bottom line is you need three seeds, and the Gemara is going to discuss why. In the meantime, says Gemara, chizki amar lo shona levitz et snonos. The only things to which the special storage halacha kulos applied, to which the special halachas of storage, which to generate this kula apply, is levitz et snonos, turnips and radishes. Hoshard v'mlo, not carrots, not parsnips, only those. Rabbi Yochanan, no. Lo shani he levis lo shani. There's no distinction. He levis, he snonos, he sharkos for carrots underneath the ground, but left the leaves revealed. That's also storage. Okay, says the Gemara.
I think we turned the page.
Manokayim. What are we talking about now? The Gemara is going to ask good questions, but it won't give us a satisfactory answer. Michael, what are you talking about? Imishum zroim b'ilon. If we're talking about seeds affecting the tree, lamali gefen. Why'd you have to mention gefen specifically? Grapevines, which known us together with radishes, afilu shar kol should be hailonos. Said about varim ha'el should be lonos. Why'd you pick grapevines? Pick trees. This applies to any tree, not just the grapevines. And if the issue which our mission is driving at is that you don't want them to take root, so therefore they're not considered to be taking root. Lomeli left its notice. Why specifically do you pick radishes and turnips? I feel chakras, maybe anything else. Now, funny thing here. The most time is that when it says left its notice, our mission means both together. Don't ask me why the Gemara had such a Amin. You'll see this is the Gemara's Amin. Gemara's Amin is, when do I give clues of storage? When you have radishes and turnips together. Not when you have radishes by themselves or turnips by themselves. So Gemara's going to refute this. But that's part of the Gemara's kasha. The issue is storage. Why do you need radishes and turnips together? So says Gemara, Mimadatai Rabbi Chia. For now, which Rabbi Chia said, Kigon aguda shel lefes. The Aguda showed snow nose. Since Rabbi Chia said, we talk about a bunch of levis or a bunch of snow nos, not necessarily both together, have a lace timer to low, there's no, the reason why it doesn't become usher is only Mishum Sheino Rotsa Bash Rosh Hashan, because you don't want them to take roots. So in other words, it's not like you understood originally that it's Lefes plus Snoros. It's Lefes or it's Snoros. And obviously, since we gave an example of Lefes or Snoros, the emphasis of our Mishnah is that even though you might think they take roots, since your intent is that they not take roots, that's where all these things are permitted. We never answered why it picked grapevines and not trees. That's never been answered. Okay, Mela says more further. Tani, we learned. That was very much very interesting clueless here. Tani, pago shetomna, it should be betevin. You have an unripe a fig, which in order to ripen, you stored it in straw. Or charora, you have a hot cake. Shetam regecho, in order to keep it warm, you stored it in coal. You stored it in coal. Imo yumiktsasim gulin. If part of it was, part of them was revealed, part of the unripe fig, or part of the charora, and he told him b'Shabbos, allowed to move them on Shabbos. If not, any tolling b'Shabbos, now the moon on Shabbos. Why? Because what's wrong? They're completely covered. What's the problem? That might explain the second one, not the first one. You guys are such big lamdonim. Thinking too big lomdus. Mukta! Yeah, the straw is mukta. The hotcakes are mukta. So how can you get it? Whatever's inside them, you can't move it. Okay? Hotcakes are mukta, but what's encased in? Hakos are mukta. Yeah, so you can't get it. Okay? Right, Belezer ben Tadoya Mer Bain, Bankach, regardless. Toche Bishkur Spudasakin, you stick a skewer or a knife into the hot cake or into the fig, the night lady can take it. Higher moving mukta, it doesn't matter. Asid Rabbi Lezer ben Tadoy, that which Rabbi Lezer said, this permissal goes like Rabbi Shimon. The time lo yogur adam is akise. That's a mitzvah, a person should not move, not drag, a bed, a chair, a bed, there's a katedra. Katedra is like a heavy chair. Bibnei Shuose Charitz, because you make a furrow in the ground. Rabbi Shimon Matir, because Rabbi Shimon has the famous principle of what? Yeah, right. But specifically here, it's not a psych ratio. It's not for sure going to happen. Therefore, it's called Darver Shein Miskaven Mutter. Right, we didn't have the intent, it's Mutter. So you didn't intend to move the coals. You didn't intend to move the straw. You intended to get out the cake or to get out the fig. So Darver Shein Miskaven is Mutter. Rava said slightly differently. He said B'Shem Rav Huna. And Rav Chaga said B'Shem Rav Zira. And Rabbi Yossi said B'Shem Rabbi Hila, Modi Chachomim Rabbi Shimon. Chachomim can see to Rabbi Shimon, B'kisei Sh'aglom Shukos Petit. Where you have a chair, and the chair is sunk into mud. Shemutu Tal's allowed to move it on Shabbos. Why is that? Because even though it makes a furrow, what's going to happen to the furrow right after you move the chair? It's going to fall back in. Right. So, the Tamar, Mutar Lataltulo, just like you're allowed to move it, Kavasa Mutar Lachzir, so you're allowed to put it back. In other words, you can stick it back into the mud when you're finished. Because it's not going to make a permanent hole. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi wanted to bring a riot to Rava from our case of Ananam Mitzina Tina, and it's only B'Shabbos. Here we said that it's that you can move the coal or the fig on Shabbos, right? So we see that since you move the coal and fig on Shabbos, it must be that that we see that since the issue must be that the issue must be that Darvah Shem is Gavin Mutter, right? Since you, so, well, excuse me, I'm no, scratch that last line. So here We're talking. We're talk, he thought that the problem is, why do we have to say why do we have to say Nitolim B'Shabbos? It must be that the problem is making a hole. And if you can move them anyway, it must be that you're allowed to make this hole. And why are you allowed to make this hole? It must be because the hole doesn't keep. Because the straw will just fall into it, right? Or the coals will just fall in to where you made it. So must you see that our Mishnah, which says Nitolim B'Shabbos, must be, well, not the Mishnah, the Bryce says Nitolim B'Shabbos. Oh, no, it is our Mishnah. I'm sorry, our Mishnah says you can move the Lefis and Snonos on Shabbos is a riot to Rabbi Shimon, right? It's a riot to Rabba's Pshat and Rabbi Shimon. So why is it Mutter? Because even though you're making a hole in the ground, when you move it, doesn't matter. Because what the hole in the ground is going to fall back in. It's not going to remain. The dirt will just fill it in. So here's a rye for Rava. Says more, no, it's not a rye for Rava. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Rabun, Rabbi Shimon. He Rabbi Yitzchak Rabun said, it could be that this is. The other thing, Rabbi Shimon, that Dov Hashem is carving is mutter. In other words, what Rava was chiddush was that even if you attempt to make a hole in the mud, since the hole which is not miskayim, it's okay. That's not necessarily the case in our Mishnah. Could be our Mishnah specifically mutter because it's a what? Dov Hashem is carving. Because you didn't intend to make a hole. But could be if you intended to make a hole, even though it was a temporary hole, maybe we would concede that it's also. So there's no clear cut evidence for that for our Mishnah. Says the Gemara further. Wait a minute. How can our Mishnah be Rabbi Shimon? It says in our Mishnah that since you only put the radish and turnip in for storage purposes, so they don't get Shemitah. It sounds like had you planted the radish and turnip, there would be a Shemitah problem. How could that be according to Rabbi Shimon? Yisrael Chameh Meshviz to Rabbi Shimon. Is the Kanta Shemitah Kohen Rabbi Shimon? So Rabbi Shimon Matir B'Svichei Shvi'is. Rabbi Shimon permits Svichei Shvi'is. Rabbi Shimon says stuff which goes with Shemitah's motor. We pass in Svichei Shvi'is are also. We pass in anything which goes with Shemitah in a Jewish field is also. If a Jew grows it, it's also. But Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. So why if our mission is going like Rabbi Shimon, and it was mutter to move the stuff on Shabbos because it's Dov Hashem Miskaven, then it doesn't follow to start speaking about Shemitah. Because there's no Shemitah problem anyway by turnips and radish which are planted on Shemitah, because he doesn't over there serve speaking of that which goes through Shemitah. Says the Gemara again, what did Shemitah say? So remember Shemitah, Rabbi Shimon. He said the Rosh Tzilel takes out the next three words. So how can you say here that our Mishnah is going to grab Shimon? Says, well, no! I've got the Shimon. What is the Rabbi Shimon allows Svichei Shvi'is? He allows you to eat that which grows in a Shemitah field. But still, Yisrael Mishum Kedusha Shvi'is. Whatever grows there has Kedusha of Shemitah, and therefore it can't be wasted, and you have to be mevarit when there's no longer anything left for the animals in the field. So therefore, it says more. Even though Rabbi Shimon, our Mishnah works. Our Mishnah had to tell us that there's no Shemitah, not vis-a-vis the Isser of Svichin. There is no Isser of Svichin. But vis-a-vis what? That there should be no Kedusha Shemitah on the radish and turnips. How do I know there's no Kedusha Shemitah on the radish and turnips? Only because Rabbi Shimon, because it's put there for storage. And that's even called Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon knows it's Kedusha Shemitah, even on anything which is planted during Shemitah. Okay, let's see on a good side. I've got Rabbi Shimon, Mati, Besvich, Shvi'is. He's claiming Shimon, Kedusha Shvi'is. He holds the concept of Shvi'is sanctifying the fruit of Hacha, so to hear, Eino Choshish, Lomishum Shvi'is. When it says you're not Choshish because of Shemitah, what does that mean? Lomishum Kedusha Shvi'is. You're not Choshish because that there might be Kedusha Shvi'is. Okay. New issue. You plant two types of grain in a valley. Two types of grain in a ruin. R-U-I-N. You plant two types of grain, and they fall on either side of a fence. Now, in the first two cases, in the Bika and in the Churva, you took them in your hand, Chita and Sora, let's say, wheat and barley, and you scattered them. It happens to be when they fell on the floor, they fell more than six tefachim apart. But you planted them with one hand motion. The same thing if they were split by a fence. The barley fell on that side, the wheat fell on that side, but would you scatter them together? This is machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan Bar Potter, because the mice, how did they land separately? Rishim and Loki says Chayav, because what did you do? You scatter them together. That's enough. If you're a das, was to scatter them together, we zap you for that. It's a major chumra by Reish Lakish, right? Your intent to do an Avera, and a Maisa which was attended with the intent of Avera, that's enough to be Mechayiv you Malkus. Okay? It's more indicative of you tend to plant together. We're going to see that on Amud Beis. Okay, it says, Moreh Hashem ben Lakish. Actually, even on Amud Alsa. Moreh Hashem ben Lakish bezoreh gabe yam. Hashem ben Lakish ever concedes if you plant it on, at sea, on a lake. Al gabe pitra, on top of a... I'm not sure what a pitra is. I forgot what a pitcher is. It's some sort of non-arable surface. Similarly, agave slimy plant on top of rock. Agave treasure on top of plant which is not land which is not agriculturally suited. Shupater, because even though you spread them together, they can't grow. Let's say later on they rolled somewhere where they could grow. But lemaisa, when you scatter them, your intent was not to see them actually grow. Yeah. Hydroponics will grow them, but the old days it didn't. It just wouldn't grow. Okay? Moda Hashem and Lakish Bezorka Zorea Amnas Lachalk and Goder. And also when you scatter them with the intent of having a fence separate them, of course, through part of their exempt as well. Amar Rabbi Bar Kartigna, Kartiganya, Rabbi Bar from Kartiganya said, Moda Hashem and Lakish in Shabbos Adja Tanuach. Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish says that on, Shimon Lakish concedes that in Shabbos, the Melachah is only transgressed when the seeds rest, but not just rest. Obviously, what else do they have to do? Take root. As they say in Chicago, root. They have to actually take root in order to be also because of Shabbos. Kilayim, your intent to plant and your act of scattering is in and of itself enough to give you Malkus. Shabbos, you mechayiv you lechatos or koreis because of Zorea, what has to actually take place? Hashlosha actually has to take root. Okay? Masisa pliga Rabbi Yochanan. Our Mishnah seems to argue Rabbi Yochanan. It says as a reachito sorakachas, if you plant wheat and barley together, I raise a kilayim. It's kilayim. It sounds like even you just scatter them. It says more no. Pasar Lo, Rabbi Yochanan explains that story about Benesunim B'toch Shisha al Shisha, where they fell in a constricted area within six fachim of each other. That's why it's Kilayim. Otherwise, it wouldn't be Kilayim. So why is it Kilayim? Because they fell together, and therefore it's Kilayim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Eino Chayav, Achu Shisha al Shisha Mukrochim, until they fall to an area which is 6x6, a bald spot. Now, a bald spot doesn't necessarily mean a bald spot. It means there's a designated area. They fall together in a designated area, which is 6x6, mutol sada, so that's for within your grain field. All mukavim gather, or they fall into an area where they are within a fence. Now that's where the churba comes in, right? In other words, it has to be that the wind can't scatter them away from there. Because the wind can scatter them away from there, even if you threw them within six fachim of each other, the Isra is not yet transgressed. Because you could say, well, I intend for the wind to carry them away and scatter them. So what's the only way I can be Mechayev you, according to Rabbi Yochanan? If you plant them in a way to make sure that they don't scatter, which obviously means either you dug a hole in the ground for them, or you put them in a constricted area where they're going to grow together. Okay? Now, the truth is I only prepared up to a year, but it's unprecedentedly early. I don't know if I can let you go. Let's see if I can wing it. If not, then we'll leave for tomorrow night. Okay? Be'ada, we did two bladder ray though, right? By the way, Thursday night we're not learning for sure, because I'm going to be out of town. Wednesday night might also be a problem. I'll let you know tomorrow. But Wednesday night I'll probably be here, but I don't know yet for sure. Next week, Monday and Tuesday. No, we know. Tishabov. Right, Monday and Tuesday. Monday, yeah, because Monday night is Tishabov. But sorry, Tishabov, I can't get you to schlep out here. Okay, so we're going to fall behind. Ba'ador, that's the word, Ba'ador, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, ain't a kilayim. Wait a minute. Rabbi Yehuda said you only have kilayim if you plant three seeds together. How could Rabbi Yehuda say such a thing? In this case, you planted two seeds, chit and tzoret, together in the constricted area. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't concede that that's kilayim. Concede, get it? Doesn't concede that that's kilayim. So this is what Rabbi Zira said, Rabbi Yehuda Kedaita. Rabbi Yehuda follows his line of reason, which is known to us. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Besada Yerek Tefach. Rabbi Yehuda says that in a Sada Yerek, in a field of vegetables, the shear at which it no longer becomes kilayim, which is no longer kilayim, is not six tefachim, like we learned till now, but even a tefach. As long as it's more than a tefach apart, it's not kilayim. So we learn it has to be at least six tefachim apart. He says even one tefach. So it seems that Rabbi Yehuda has a much more narrow view of what makes kilayim. Perhaps that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds you need to have three grains together. Perhaps they're related. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, "Mind the boy, Makshayel Hoder is Rabbi Zira. He wants to ask a question on Rabbi Zira. On Rabbi Zira, Yolif, who said that the Rabbi Yehuda has more constricted parameters. Yolif Hador the Rabbi Yehuda. Let him learn the parameters of Rabbi Yehuda mean the Rabbonin, from that which the Rabbi said. Kimad the Rabbonin, I mean like that which Rabbonin said. Beisur." Base Rova. When you have Beisur means the Rabbanan. Beisur means the Rabbanan, you need much more than six fucking distance. You need a base Rova of distance, which is 10 amos. Major difference. Midoraisa, what's the namos? Midoraisa, lilkos means to flog you. The only flog is the right, so shisha six. Kein Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so to Rabbi Yehuda says, Omar, be iser shisha al shisha, for an iser, in other words, the iser the Rabbanon, is 6x6, lilkos tefach, only to get malchus into tefach. But for the iser the Rabbanon, you already transgressed the iser the Rabbanon by 6x6. So, Vatani Rabbi Yehuda Matir, yet it said in our Mishnah, well, it's not a Mishnah, but it must be in a Braisa, the Rabbi Yehuda permits it. Rabbi Yehuda, I don't know if we had this Braisa. I don't think we did. Yeah, it's he brings out, it's not a price which we had, but there's a price which says Rabbi Yehuda was matir as long as you don't have three seeds. So again, the kasha is we see at least mid rabbanon Rabbi Yehuda has the same stringency as. So how can he be matur outright unless you have three types of grain? He should at least ask him midrabanan. How can you matur even midrabanan? Okay, the kashya, and we add, it's also difficult. My time is the Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. What's the logic, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish? Rabbi Shimon Lazar said, when you just scatter out of your hand, it's already this of key line. Mikem chotzi mitoch yodo lezera chayev. Once you let it go out of your hand, and with the intent to plant, you're ready to be chayev. So says the Gemara, Vatina and Rabbi Yehuda Omer any kilayim. Why in that case is Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not kilayim if you scatter two types of grain? He said only if you scatter three types of grain. Let him, according to Reish Lakish, he should say that it's also even two types of grain when you're scattering out of your hand, right? That's a kasha, another kasha, Rabbi Yehuda. It's more of a kasha, Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, holds it's in scattering. So if you scatter, what difference does it make how many seeds you scatter? The moment you scatter seeds of wheat and seeds of barley, who cares how many you scatter? Why is it even to say dafka three? Scatter seeds of barley and wheat together, that should be sufficient. Says Gemara, patar lo achitanuach. You're right, and says Gemara, Reish Lakish will say that there is no issur of kilayim unless until it falls, and therefore even though you scatter chita and sora together, it has to fall in a manner which has three seeds, and I'm not sure exactly why that is. We don't know yet. What? Yeah, I understand that three is something established, but the Chora, what does that have to do with Kilayim? Kilayim is two minim. So why three is Roim? And we were promised the Gemara is not going to explain it. I don't see here anywhere the Gemara explaining it. All right. You know what? Let's leave it for tonight. We'll come back to tomorrow, because since I don't fully understand it, why should I lead you astray?